Well, it's another week. This is Andrew Wood, and I'm joined by good friend and pastor Jason Hayes, and you are listening to Between Sundays, as you do every week. And today is important because we're going to be talking about speeding and getting to places on time.
Oh, so I may have been pushing it a bit snug today.
A bit. Yeah, so last week I felt judged because I got here right at time to go on air. And I was not as late as you were today.
It is for those of you that are outside of the Knoxville area, listen to this in any number of ways. It's raining today, and it is raining significantly. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe it's raining harder out west where I was coming from. That's probably not true, but I'm going to say that to justify my tardiness.
You know, and while we were talking on the phone on the way over here, I recommended you put your flashers on and flash your pastor's badge, because I think all pastors have those
things. And then I immediately asked, wait, so there's a pastor's badge?
There should be.
How did I miss this?
And I said, where I grew up, all you had to do was put your flashers on and you could literally drive however you want to. And people just understood, oh, the flashers are on. Obviously, they have an important place to be.
It was ironic, though, that we were coming up with all these scenarios in how we could proceed. And I was thinking, well, you know, some folks, you know, we've got people that listen to this via podcast. Mm-hmm. We've got people that are streaming. We've got people you know, all kinds of ways that people are listening, but I'm also thinking, oh, I can just call in.
You could.
And the great irony is today we're talking about technology.
Exactly. And so we have all this technology, and I told you not to call in. I told you to speed and just get here.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Get here safely in the
exactly.
weather. You didn't have anybody else riding with you, so.
Right. So yeah. One of the things that we're going to say pretty quick today is that the technology is a good thing. We just don't want to become a slave to it.
Absolutely.
But it does appear that you want me to become incarcerated.
I do. And what a great
not
story.
Not technology.
Well, I'm
but
thinking
to
about
our
I'm thinking about
police.
The publicity for the show. if you were to have gotten pulled over.
Yes.
And then gotten a police escort.
Oh, I like that.
I think that would have been
we
good for the show.
We could have had a police guest.
It would have been
the
good
show
for
today.
The good for the church. Not really. Would not have been good for the church.
Oh,
but yes,
man.
so it's
we made it. We're here.
We're here, and so we have wasted enough time talking about that. And what we want to do today is talk about technology. And I think it is important that we start by saying, look, we understand that anytime, especially me, anytime I hear someone, you know, they get on social media and they say, I'm going to take a break for 30 days.
Thank you for announcing
that. And I'm like, well, why are you telling us? Then take your break. Take your break. Leave me alone. Don't get in my timeline. And so I know that some people are going to hear this and go, oh, you're talking about technology today. Well, Jason, you have an Apple Watch. Andrew, you have an iPhone. You know, you have podcasts, all of these things. We have to use the technology. We know that. We listen to podcasts. We use technology. I have an Alexa in the house.
Yes.
That I yell at often.
We have Alexa, but my boys love to call Alexa Siri, and Alexa does not care for that.
Wow.
If you've
okay.
never tried that out.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's we probably shouldn't have those in our house. But anyway, we have those things in our house. So I think we preface the conversation by saying we get it. We know that technology is a part of our lives. We have Apple today. It was announced that they are reaching. They may become the first of U.S. business to reach $1 trillion in
wow.
worth. I mean that.
Wow.
And so it impacts people. It is certainly a part of what we do. But as Christians, again, we have to look at it and say, how do we properly view technology, social media, and have a logical, an honest conversation on the habits, the negative things that come along with that.
Right. And so obviously with technology, that's a broad scope.
Sure.
I mean, you've got everything from some of the points that we'll talk about today are related to things like social media, but also you've got the whole world of gaming, and mm-hmm. then you have everything else that comes with all kinds of other technological advancements. I mean, there's multimedia. There's so many things that overlap with it. And so, again, as Andrew's already said, that the discussion is not how do we run away from all these things? How do we sign off from every one of our social media accounts? If you feel led to do that, you know, by all means, do that. If you feel the need to put some restrictions on on things, by all means do that. Our hope is that we can help in that conversation today by thinking about it correctly.
Yeah, and as we look at that, we'll start with the thought of how the internet often leads us towards comparison, anxiety, and depression. And we've had conversations multiple times on mental health and anxiety and depression. And I think at times we as people refuse to admit that that's what social media does. But tomorrow here in Knoxville is election day for primaries.
Yeah.
And you think about what which we could have just covered
that. I was about to say, yeah. I mean, I've got enough mailers that I could have filled.
But
I could have filled 5 hours of conversation,
we
won't do that today.
But if you think about what happens on social media during election time and what happens on the internet during those times, and then you see the constant comparison, what are some ways that we can battle against that in our own lives? While also looking at our post and seeing how we engage social media and the internet in trying to prevent that for others as well.
Yeah, so this is a crazy, crazy thought here. So there's a recent study that found that the average teenager in North America experiences the same level of anxiety as a psychiatric patient did in the 1950s. That is crazy, crazy thoughts. And so you say, how is that possible? Well, there's probably all kinds of variables, and I'm not a psychologist and don't want to imply that I am. But there are a lot of variables in play. But I do believe that technology, which brings on, certainly in the realm of social media, it brings on things like comparison and anxiety and depression. How do we resolve that? Well, I think we have to be mindful of what are the voices that we're allowing into our life. And then we also evaluate what value do we place on those voices. I love sports talk.
Sure.
I love it. And it is mindless. And I'm not really sure that it's making me a better person. I certainly know it's not making me smarter. But I can also assess that I'm not looking for it to do that in my life. Proverbs 14:30 talks about, this tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes our bones rot, basically. And so how do you have a tranquil heart? Well, you have to be mindful of what is shaping your heart and what is the voice, what are the voices that are coming into your heart? Is it the voices of our world? Is it the voices of politicians? Is it the voices of commentators? Is it the voices of media analysts? Or is it the voice of the Lord that is our primary guiding voice? Because that impacts who we are, it impacts our identity, it impacts the way we think about ourselves, it impacts the way we think about the world. We just have to be really mindful, again, of who are the voices. There's some things we could probably all assess immediately, like, hey, I don't need to have this guy in my feed, or this person just constantly negative, or this person constantly divisive. We can probably make some delineating in our own mind there, but also even some of the voices that may just kind of be, let's just call them neutral, for lack of a better description. What are we really looking for them? Are we looking for people to shape every mind, every mentality we have and every opinion we have? Or do we just recognize that some of these things are intended to keep us connected?
Yeah, and that's you think back to we're not that old. I think we're fairly young.
I am old.
You're not old. I mean, we're
40 this year.
Well, that's still
so,
not old.
Okay,
I mean,
great. Okay,
you have at least 20 years left.
Thank you. Wow, that is fantastic.
I'm kidding.
You're like, I'm kidding. It's 15.
But you think about even back to class reunions. What used to be that you'd go back and you get to see people you hadn't seen in years, and now we have that class reunions are ruined because you everybody follows everybody on social media, even if they do it kind of in a hiding way, not really liking or commenting on any post, but they just watch everything.
Yeah. So now the problem, though, and this is a quick aside, the problem now is that what happens with the class reunion, everyone then realizes the person you've been depicting yourself on the social media is not who you are.
Exactly.
Like, wait, that picture seems to have been 8 years ago and 80 pounds ago.
Wow,
and
you use a lot of filters.
Yes, exactly. And what happened to all your hair?
Yeah. Wow. You've really mastered the angle picture that I did not know you could do.
But we have
moments where we do create these non-realities and it's all about the right post, the right picture, the right atmosphere. And again, we're not saying that you should, you know, the time when you're disciplining your kids, you should be videoing that to show the world, hey, we're all broken and messed up. We get that. But we do create these things. And then what we do is we compare and we have those. That creates anxiety. That creates these, I didn't become what everybody thought I would become, or that person didn't, you know, I'm doing better than that person, and that's what matters. And that person was a jock in school, and now look at them. And we create these competitions of folks that we really don't even have relationships with,
right.
except for watching what they post. And if we get into that mindset, and then we watch our kids. I mean, I have a 2-year-old that will, she doesn't even grab my phone. She grabs this fake phone that doesn't even work. And she's taking selfies and pictures. And I'm going, what in the, she's 2, you know, and she's acting like she's taking pictures of everything. And so if we're not careful, we're going to create that anxiety for our kids, and we're going to pass those feelings away. So as we're about to go to break, and as we prepare for the next segment, yeah, I think that's where we go, is how do we combat the temptation to compete with people that we don't even really have relationships with, and what is the motivation? What is the where is our heart as Christians to make sure that not only our everyday lives we're seeking after the Lord, but how are we doing that as we're engaging from a technology standpoint as well?
Sounds good.
We'll be back. You know, Jason, every week your songs get better, and it is impressive.
It's soothing to my soul.
Those words just come out.
Yep.
Man. Chuck Hooten.
Oh, yeah, Chuck. Yeah. It was Chuck. It's not me. My bad.
Yeah, and so they are great. They are great. He's the Lord is using him for some reason. So,
absolutely.
We are glad for that. So as we talk about technology and the internet and all that comes along with that, when we look at the anxiety that comes from that, and we look at what we use the internet and our smartphones for, and we kind of use it as a release to find and take us to a fantasy world that we hope we can come back out of, but the reality is it's very difficult to come back out of that fantasy world.
Yeah, and I was thinking even before the break, some of the things that we've talked about, you know, up to this point, the comparison, the anxiety, the depression, how all that stuff kind of falls in place. You're just reminded of really how susceptible our flesh is to so many of these things. And so, as I said earlier, we're talking not just about social media. I mean, you think about technology and some of the things that it brings. It can bring some things that are entertaining, mm-hmm. things like gaming. I got all kinds of friends that now granted they're all okay. I have kids that are all into gaming. I don't have tons of adult friends that are into gaming.
That makes me feel better.
Yeah, exactly.
I appreciate the clarification.
But there are people that are into gaming.
Sure.
And then you think about something that's much more dangerous, something like pornography, mm-hmm. that obviously is accessible through the internet. I think the point would be that technology quickly can transport us to a place, put a place in quotes, if you will, that we want to go. Unfortunately, our flesh rarely has the strength to get us back. I mean, it's almost like a ticket to somewhere, but mm-hmm. it's unfortunately in many cases a one-way ticket. And our flesh is just not strong enough to get us back out of that. And so then we begin to find ourselves either losing hours upon hours upon hours of meaningful time, causing ourselves to be distracted to more important things, or in the case of pornography, finding ourselves in the midst of addiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the danger, is it's so easy to really get everything. I was listening to Mike Rowe talked the other day, and he's the guy from Dirty Jobs, and he was saying that, you know, back in the day, going to college was you would pay for college because the professors had wisdom and had you would gain access to things you didn't have access
right.
to. But in 2018, on a grander scale, we have access to everything: good things, bad things, fake news, real news, good news, bad news, everything you can think of. You can quickly get to it, not just at a computer, but with your phone. And gone are the days of sitting around in the living room and going, "What was that guy's name that played right. in that movie?" I mean, we can find it immediately.
Yes.
And so as we think about that,
if I can just interrupt quick, I'm going to just interrupt right
interrupt
now.
Interrupt me, Jason.
No, it's a really crazy thing. Even talking, let's continue that kind of illustration you were talking about the teacher. Well, the teacher has information, but it may not necessarily be information you care about.
Sure.
But what the internet is doing is it is flat out mining our minds. If you think about all this crazy stuff that happened a few months ago with Facebook about privacy mm-hmm. and how much the data they were gaining from us, I mean they are literally mining our minds. Let me give you a crazy thought. So Facebook is 3 times more successful than other online advertisements. And how is that? Because they know what we want to hear. They know what we want to listen to. They know our interests. They know these things. And so, again, it just elevates how susceptible we really are to this all becoming a slave to us, you know, to us losing all this time and to losing ourselves to addiction and all this other stuff.
Well, and it's not just it's Facebook, it's Instagram, it's
sure.
Twitter, it's all of the I was talking with someone the other day, and I mentioned a name, and it was the last name of someone that was joining our organization. But that last name also is a business that I was unaware of. I'd never heard of that
right.
business. And then 30 minutes later, I pull up Instagram, and what do I see? An ad for that business.
Correct.
And I was like, so people are telling me that these phones aren't listening to us, but it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear that they're listening to us. And then from that, even it's not that Zuckerberg and Facebook are going into our homes uninvited.
Oh yeah.
we are giving them all the information, and then we get mad when companies take advantage of that.
It's a really, we talked about this with our church months ago, but something that may be somewhat indicting is what are those ads that are continuing to pop up?
Yeah.
You know, because it speaks towards what are we searching? Mm-hmm. You know, I think I playfully joked with our body that, you know, I continue getting Little Debbie ads, you know, that are popped up. But no, really, like, are there things that are connected to the Christian life that are popping up into our feeds? Or is it all about sports and all about cars and all about materialism or all about that things that could be much further down
sure.
a negative spectrum? I mean, it's an indictment possibly.
And it controls what we do. And so then we get to a place, are we a people that exalt the technology and the creation, or are we a people that exalt the Creator? And so we need to be a people, Christians, that celebrate the Creator of the universe and the Creator of all things, more so than we are people that celebrate the creation.
Yep.
And technology plays in that. And so are we, you know, I watch not just kids. I think for a while it was you could point it and say kids are addicted to their phones and young. That's what young people do. Teenagers. But
them young, those young people,
they don't know what, you know,
get
they would
off
just
my lawn.
Yeah, go play basketball, go play outside. Yeah. And then you know, I take my kids to gymnastics on, and I walk in and I look at all the parents, and all of them have their face in their phone.
Well, and so that's a great, great transition, I think. And I want you here in just a second to reference a book that you've been working
sure,
through. In
yeah,
fact,
yeah,
there was
yeah.
a quote that you had mentioned to me that I think speaks towards it. But see, that's a crazy deal. I mean, your kids are down there doing cool stuff.
Sure.
And we're all distracted. And so that's one of the things. Technology can sometimes distract us from things that really matter. And maybe matter most, and they steal moments away that we'll never, ever get back. You know, we've got our face and our phone, and we miss something, you know, or we're distracted from a meaningful conversation. One really practical thing I try to do is I try to turn my phone off when I'm picking the kids up from school, because I want them to feel, and when I'm dropping them off from school, because I want them to know, I want to hear when they say it was a hard day. I want to be able to have that conversation, not, hey, I'll get back to you.
Yeah. Well, and our kids are good accountability partners too, because my kids will look at me and say, put your phone down.
Yeah.
You know, at first it's like, haha, you know, and then they're
like, no,
my
really.
4 and 5 year olds looking at me going, no, put your phone down. What are you like? Why won't you pay attention to
yeah,
us?
Yeah. Read that quote from talking about the bedroom.
So this is there's a book that I would highly recommend called The Tech Wise Family: Everyday Steps for Putting Technology in Its Proper Place. And it's by Andy Crouch. He's a great author, speaker. Technology distracts and displaces us far too often, undermining the real work of becoming persons of wisdom and courage. And so if you think about that, how many of us take our phones to the bedroom and we lay in bed next to our spouse and we just keep our head in our phone? We check Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or what? Even
it's
maybe,
almost the time to unwind, sure. But we're somehow unwinding independently from one another. Yeah.
But the reality is the screen, the lights is preventing us from unwinding.
Correct.
That is what happens just scientifically.
Right.
That's what happens to us. And so we have to be. We need to be intentional about that. And that's not me being, that's not us being like hardcore, but when I walk into Cracker Barrel and I'm going as a family to eat and I look around and everyone around is sitting at their table with friends and family and all of them have their nose in a phone, that's a problem.
We're missing the ball.
For society.
Right. Right. And that's where I think most of our listeners here would be saying, okay, yeah, I get it. In fact, I think many of them would say, yeah, that's a little bit of me in that, or maybe there's a lot of me in that. That's where we would say, here's the practical step. We have got to set significant boundaries by taking significant measures. And what does that look like? I love Chuck, who we were referencing to earlier, the music that you hear, our worship pastor. He always talks about Psalm 101. Psalm 101 says, I'll sing of steadfast love and justice. To you, O Lord, I'll make music. But then it says, I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I'll walk with integrity of heart within my house. And that's the question. Like, what are the voices we're allowing into our home? What are the even let's take that. If we think about our body is the temple. It's the house of the Spirit. What are we allowing in? What voices are we allowing in? And do we need to put some restrictions on something?
Yeah, and let's talk about that when we come back.
When I fell down in Eden, you knew that I need you here tonight. And this is my desire, that you burn me with your fire. I want to be like you.
So as we continue this conversation, Jason, and we look at some practical points, how we can really implement boundaries and we just discuss the technology and the way it's changing everything. It's changing the way people work. It's changing what jobs are out there, what jobs aren't out there. So everything is changing. But if we focus on just our homes and the sacred places in our lives, how can we create those boundaries without being that that quote unquote crazy family that goes off the reservation and they get rid of everything? But even though some people may need to do that, but how do we create some practical boundaries in our lives?
So obviously everybody's situation is unique, and people have different careers and have different different requirements when it comes to connectivity, and so. One of the things that I know that I have struggled with in the past is, as a pastor, I felt like I had a responsibility to almost always be accessible. And then I also felt like I had this responsibility to always be tethered to the things that the body was saying. And so we started 6 years ago with 5 people, Carrie, I, and our 3 little boys, but with hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of people now. I've begun to realize that can't happen. But there was that temptation that I always had to be on in case someone posted something that seemed to indicate hurt or indicated need or announced that a loved one was sick. You know, that was a fear. And then I always felt like I had to have my phone in case someone called in the middle of crisis and things of that sort. Now, here's what I have figured out to do. I've realized that I don't have to be tethered and I don't have to always be accessible as long as I have put other means and channels in place for people to be cared for. And so I don't have to have my phone at all times, but I do have to have means of people being cared for. Sure. So if crisis does happen in the middle of the night, we have to do that. And so we figured that out as a staff, and we figured that out using things like Google Voice and other technologies. But then even we've been pretty clear as a church to say, hey, listen, we are not going to be scouring the interwebs to figure out everything that's happening in your life so we can care for you. We want you to be involved in things like life groups, and we want you to be involved in the midst of our prayer ministry, and we want you to be involved in care and counseling and things like that. And so it's been helpful for me if I've just clearly put parameters and said, and I've communicated those boundaries. And I think you could take that same kind of approach and apply it to your family life. Hey, this is when we're going to be available. This is when we're not. This is the way you can connect to us if you must. You know, this is when I'm going to have my phone. And even if you're have the luxury to be able to say, I don't check my email, communicate that. I don't check my email after dinner time. I reserve the evenings for my kids or for my spouse or for my friends or something else. I mean, you just have to communicate boundaries once they've been made.
And it's work. I mean, this isn't easy. It's not easy, especially if we've been operating in a certain way for an extended period of time. I mean, I think back to even my family growing up. I remember when we first got the bag phone, the actual car phone, you know? And you would listen to sports stations. They go, this George Plaster would say, this is so-and-so on a car phone. It's like
yeah.
He still does that.
Yeah, exactly. Still
does so, that. And so as we – but you see where that – it started there. And so that became a thing that we had a certain amount of minutes. And now no one worries about minutes. No one worries about the amount of text messages and those things. And so it has become easier. And I think we've created a sense for employees to be, well, this is now I have access to my email all the time.
Right.
And so depending on where you are in the chain at your place of work, is there boundaries? If the boss sends an email after hours, do we know if you have to respond immediately? If you are the boss, are you recognizing that, hey, if you send an email at 8 p.m., they may feel the need to respond immediately?
That's a good word.
That's not good.
Right.
And so how are we walking through that? And that's something that I struggle with. And so we do those things and we set the boundaries and because our families are worth it. And if we're honest with ourselves, real relationships, for the most part, are not going to occur through electronic means.
Right. And we understand that every person out here that's listening isn't necessarily married with children
like we
are. We understand that. But there are things that are meaningful to you beyond some of the connectivity that you have connected to your career or to other things where you're constantly tethered. And I think you make a really great point talking about I'm the guy that if it's fresh on my mind, I'm blasting
that's
off.
What I do.
Yep. But my expectation is not that everyone has to respond to it right then. It's I've got to get it off my brain and I'm going to save a step rather than throwing it in my task list. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go ahead and shoot that email off. Well, I just need to make sure that our team understands that you don't have to be responding to that. You're not a bad employee. You're not a bad staff member by not responding to it. In the same way that we're talking about communicating this well, whether it's to our church family, whether it's to our employees or employers, I think you also have to just make some verbal commitments, almost a covenant with those people that matter, whether it is your spouse, whether it is your children, whether it's a dear friend that you're keeping in contact. It is a different story, and Andrew knows this. You guys don't see me off air. You know that Andrew has this. If you see Andrew off air, you'd know that he has this amazing beard. It's spectacular, and it is orange-ish.
It is.
What do we call it, orange?
I don't like that, but sure.
What term do you prefer?
I would say red.
Okay, so we'll go with red. And that's Andrew, you know. oh gosh, where was I going?
I don't know.
Keep talking about your beard. Got it. So, you know, people don't always see me off air, or if they do. But here's one thing that they have to know. They have to know that I'm going to make these commitments and I'm going to do things that matter. So I have this son and I have an older son and he has condition called Tourette's. And so we had to do a dietary regimen. This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I committed to my son that I'm not going to make you change this dietary regimen without, I mean, you're not going to do it alone. And so what they can't see is over the last few months, I've lost 35 pounds. Mm-hmm. Okay. 35 pounds. And the reason that I dropped it and the reason that I did that, and the reason that I wouldn't say was it wasn't easy, but the reason I kept it and stayed to it was because I verbalized a commitment to my mm-hmm. son. I said to my son, you will not do this alone. And in the same way, when we think about things like technology and fighting for meaningful moments and fighting for meaningful interactions, if we're saying, hey, listen, we are committing as a family, we're turning the phones off at dinner. We're committing as a couple. We're spending the first 45 minutes of our alone time just talking without our phones or without the internet mm-hmm. or without our laptops. If we're making those commitments to each other, it is much more difficult to break.
And if you're listening to this and you're going, well, I'm not married, I don't have kids, and say you're just dating and you're trying to figure out dating. I was listening to John Chris. He's a comedian, yeah. and he does a ton of Insta stories, and he has a ton of followers. And he said that dating is difficult because when he dates, girls won't think that he's the guy on Insta stories. And he's like, that was just 5 minutes of my day. Like,
and intentionally like, trying to be
yeah,
funny.
I'm a normal person the rest of the time.
And having thought through it in advance.
And he actually writes those bits out for Insta
Correct.
Stories. And so when social media, when technology becomes everything we are, it makes it harder to have real relationships because we have created this, either it's fake or we've created this persona online that when we try to have actual relationships or go on a date, we may be surprised at the conversation or the lack of conversation because you don't know what to say or who to talk to. Or I remember working at University of Tennessee and having students come in and they wouldn't look me in the eye. They didn't know how to have a conversation. They would look in their phones. They had headphones on all the time. And the first thing I would tell all of them is take the headphones out of your ear and talk to me.
Correct.
And then we can proceed into whatever conversation we need to. But it's a process of how to create a society that doesn't say get rid of all technology and it's all bad, but how do we create the boundaries in our lives where we can still have meaningful relationships?
That's good. That's really, really good. And I love what you said because inevitably what we may be drawn towards, we want to point people towards something better.
Yes.
You know, and so to your point, when you're talking about, and we were even talking off air about all the craziness that is employment and career paths and people trying to find second careers through the internet
sure.
and all this other stuff. But there's something to be said for, listen, we want you to get a job down the road.
Yes.
You want this. And so one of the means of finding a job down the road is having social skills and being having interpersonal skills and all of these things. I mean, this is really, really critical. And then in the same way, we don't need to pitch it to our children. I mean, my kids want to play Fortnite as much as anyone, but I have to tell them, listen, we're going to put boundaries on this
yes.
because we want you to be better children. We want you to understand the beauty of being outside. We want you to understand the coolness of building friendships with your neighbors down the street. I mean, we're pointing people towards something better. And ultimately, if we think about that even in the much larger context, let's point ourselves towards something better, which is Jesus.
Sure. Yeah, and as we think about that, a very practical, again, from the book from that I mentioned earlier, a very practical step that we could attempt to implement, all of us could, is what Andy Crouch recommends is 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, and 1 week a year, set everything aside. And what he means by that is set the phones aside, set social media aside, set TV aside, everything electronic, and just read a book during that hour, spend time with your family, make, you know, crafts or whatever it is you want to do. In my family, that would be like with my dad, it would be go cut wood
right.
and go drink a sun drop. You
right.
know, that type of find things to do. And what he's saying is not you're not getting rid of it for a whole year. You're
right.
saying 1 hour a day, 1 day a week, and 1 week out of the year – let's make a purpose in our own lives to say we're going to set this on the shelf.
You're quite literally recalibrating your mind, your heart, kind of fixing it back on the right things. And you know, what was it again? What did it say? An hour a day.
A day a week, and a week a year.
Now, for some of you, that may sound impossible. You're like saying, there's no way. That is really, really hard. Well, begin to at least take some steps.
Yeah.
Begin to put some things into place where you're saying enough is enough, because it's really, really, really important.
Well, and as we seek to grow closer to our God, God's going to use people in our lives to do that. Your relationships are going to get better if you set these things aside periodically. Your relationship with God is going to get better. Your relationship with your spouse, with your kids, with friends, with coworkers, if we are intentional about this, and if we think it's important, and we should think it's important to do these things.
So when we come back, I'm going to say something that makes me sound a whole lot like an old fogey. But it's from a pastoral heart, and it connects to technology and really keeping our mind fixed on the right things.
Still my soul, the Lord is on your side. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Be still my soul when it is dark outside. The Lord is near. The Lord is near.
So as we come back, we have just a few minutes, and I know that we like to end every Between Sunday show with somewhat of a challenge and encouragement. And so, Jason, what is that challenge today?
So my old fogey challenge. I really do have a conviction about this. Obviously, as a pastor of a church that stands on the authority of the Word of God, we value the teaching of the Word, but we're also quick to say to our people that their spiritual growth doesn't sit exclusively on my shoulders. Mm-hmm. And so they've got to be students of the Word. But here's one thing I would just challenge people to do. Pick up a physical Bible again. And the only reason that I know so many people, because it's a temptation of my own heart, if I walk into church and I'm using my phone as my Bible, one, I'm probably not maybe as quick to be able to take notes and things of that sort, but it only takes that one text to come mm-hmm. through. It only takes that one tweet to pop up, that one notification. In fact, there was a Sunday, whenever it was, I guess at the end of last season, that I could tell in our crowd something was happening, and it was the firing of Butch Jones. Mm-hmm. I mean, because there was that many people who probably started out with good intention to study the Word of God, to open up the Bible, use the Bible app.
Sure.
But boom, it was like distraction had set across the room. And the same thing happens whether we're sitting in our truck, you know, before we walk into work in the morning. Hey, I want to get a few minutes into the Bible. I want to study it. And then, boom, here comes the email, and I'm distracted. And so my encouragement might be, put all the appropriate other boundaries in, but maybe one also would be, if we're going to talk about replacing something, or maybe not replacing it, but making sure that we're focusing on the voices that we need to hear most, pick up that physical Bible.
Right. And that's, I think sometimes when you say those things, I think some people will go, well, there he goes with that legalism stuff of got to have an actual Bible. Well, let's talk about that and maybe we'll do a show on legalism at some point. But there's nothing wrong with following rules that get us closer to Jesus.
Right.
And so when we replace that with idolatry of rules, then that's a different story.
Right.
But there are the Word Scripture takes us to a place where it says, look, these are some things that you need to do, and these are things you don't need to do.
Right, and even in that case, I mean, I'm still going to keep a Bible
sure.
app up.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm still going to have it because I want to be able to pull things yeah. throughout the day. But if I'm breaking away and really want to have some focused time, I'm going to put that down. In the same way, you know, golly, I can grow in all kinds of ways in my faith through the internet. And so we're not going to be legalistic to say,
sure,
you know,
absolutely.
Burn your iPhone or yeah. turn off your laptop. But we're also going to be really vocal to say something like pornography can destroy your life.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
and so let's not be legalistic, but let's also not use grace as a license
right.
for immorality,
right.
either as the Scriptures
yeah.
would tell us.
But I think this is a good time to announce that this Sunday we are having an iPhone burning
Absolutely.
At Shoreline.
It's
and so
it's
we're excited about
co-titled iPhone burning and Legalism Sunday.
I think it's going to be great. I'm really excited to be a part of it. And it's on Promotion Sunday. It just all works out well with the family.
So if that doesn't appeal to you, there are a number of other things that might appeal to you about our church. We'd encourage you to check us out, shorelineknox.com.
I feel like in 2018 we have to say that I was just joking.
Yes, right, sarcasm is one of our one of our gifts here.
That is not happening this Sunday. but we are. Yeah, if you want to learn more about what's happening at Shoreline, you can at shorelineknox.com.
Right.
And then if you want to learn more about what I'm doing at Hope Resource Center and what the Lord is doing at that place, you can at investinghope.com.
We got a big race coming up, right?
Big race. We have a 5K 1 month away, September 1st, Cherokee Boulevard. You can learn more about that at investinghope.com. A lot of things happening and going well there. And also, if you want to listen to this show, keep up with what's going on, you can. You can find this between Sundays, of course, live here at Joy 620. You can find it at Podbeam, iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn app, wherever podcasts are found, you will find the show. Listen, share it with your friends, subscribe, send us an email, reach out to us. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And we'll be back here next week, Jason.
Take care.
All right. Yeah. I'm